Well, good evening again. I love the message of this video because I think too often we take for granted and we fail to see the potential and the great that's in the small. It's crazy to me to think that in that little seed has the potential to grow this massive plant. I mean, there's so many small things that have such incredible potential within them. And it's where we're going tonight. Tonight I'm preaching a message called One Small Act. And it is a privilege to fill Pastor Dave's pulpit on a Sunday night, and never take it lightly. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm excited to share what God has put on my heart, and this is something that I've been talking with our students a lot about on Wednesday nights recently. Back in August when we did back to school focus on Wednesday. I preached a message to our students, and I told them something that seems a little counterintuitive for a youth pastor to say, because I told them, listen, I'm not gonna stand up here this year and challenge you to change your schools or change the world, right? Because those are terms that are really easy, phrases that are really easy to throw out there, right? Let's go change the world, go change your schools, you know? And I think sometimes we do the church, we do our students, we do ourselves a disservice when we give ourselves this real broad, just, you know, overarching kind of title or task, and not recognize the significance that actually happens in just small, ordinary, daily moments. Because when you break it down, that is how you change your school. That is how you change the world. That is how you change your environment. It's little daily things. And it's small things and the extreme importance that is found therein. And so tonight, if you want to join me in your Bibles, I'm going to go to the Old Testament. I'm going to talk about the account of Naaman in Scripture. It's 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5 is where we're headed. And looking at the story, there are positive and negative implications or applications of this account, this story of Naaman in Scripture, as there are with many stories and teachings from the Bible. But tonight, I'm going to talk mainly about the positive implications of this story. I mean, last time I spoke, I talked a little bit about the parable of the talents, right, in Matthew. And with that story, right, there's positive and negative implications. It's it's the story of the servant who buried the two servants that multiplied their money, the servant that buried his money. And the negative implication there, of course, is don't bury your money because the master's not going to be happy with you. Or don't bury, like, the investment, right? The positive implication then was, hey, like, it's not about the amount that you're given, it's about your faithfulness with what you're given, because the reward was the same for each of these servants, right? And so tonight I'm looking at the positive implication of this story of Naaman, 2 Kings 5. We're going to have it up on the screen, but if you want to follow, it's a bit of a lengthy portion of Scripture, but it's chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And if you would like to follow along, we're going to read it together, and I'll be reading from the NIV. And it reads like this: Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now many of you know that leprosy was a destructive, painful, terrible disease, illness. Verse 2, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Can I tell you, that's no joke. Convert that to our weight system. It's about 150 pounds of gold. I'm like, listen, just bring me the gold. I mean, you can leave the silver and the clothing. I mean, that's, 150 pounds, I'll just take that. That's plenty, right? So, I mean, he was desperate for a cure. He was desperate for something to happen here. The letter that he took, verse 6, the letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. I essentially have one point to preach tonight, one point message. We pastors don't do that super often, but a one point message, and it is this: small acts can bring large results. Small acts can bring large results. Now, I'm a firm believer that if God is talking to his church, I believe he talks to the church as a whole, not just certain groups or certain ministries. And because Pastor Dave and I, we don't compare notes when we prepare messages. And man, I just love when what God is speaking to the students, then it shows that those same themes show up again on Sunday. I'm just like, yes, like this is what God is saying to his church, you know, and vice versa. You know, Pastor Dave will preach something on a Sunday, and I'm just like, man, that's exactly what, you know, God has put on my heart for this coming Wednesday. And it's really cool how God does that. And I think God speaks to his church in threads and in themes, right? And recently, it's kind of funny. I had preached a message on Wednesday night called 1 Degree of Difference. And I was talking about that principle of how, and Pastor Dave he referenced it just a couple weeks later on a Sunday, how you, from a starting point, if you're just one degree off over a short span of distance, it's not going to make that much of a difference. But over the long term, right, you're going to be way off course depending on how far you go with 1 degree off, 1 degree of difference. So Pastor Dave was referencing this, and after the fact, one of my students texted me, said, "Did Pastor Dave just steal your illustration?" And I responded, threads and themes. I mean, that's how God speaks to his church, and it's just something that God has been speaking to us. And I believe firmly that God is shifting. He's in the process of shifting the small things. He's tweaking, he's pruning as we move further along in the mission, the purpose, and the calling of this church body. You know, because I look out at this church, I look out at you guys, and I know that as a church, it's not like we have these glaring issues and we're way off course, but the Holy Spirit wants to prune, and he wants to make these small course corrections to get us exactly where we need to go in his mission and in his purpose. So let's talk about this one small act of obedience by Naaman, right? 2 Kings 5. And before we get to his actual act of dipping himself in the Jordan 7 times, I want to bring out a few things of note. Number one, this young girl that tells him about the prophet in Israel that he needs to go see, right? So this girl is a captive, right, who was taken in a raid from Israel. So this captive who's in his serving in his household comes and tells him, hey, you should go check out this prophet who's in Israel. Now, if I was, you know, in Naaman's position, I would be like, who are you to tell me anything, you know? And instead, it's obvious from the money that he took and from the advice he took from this young girl, he was desperate to see something happen. He was willing to try anything. He was like, I need a cure. I need this to go away. So he was in a desperate spot, right? It would be like, I don't know if anyone out there has siblings, but growing up with an older brother, if I had to ask anyone for help with anything, my older brother would be the last person that I would ask. And it's probably just more of a pride thing than anything else. I don't need your help. Or it would be like if Jen and I, there's Jen, she's in the back. Hi, Jen. If Jen and I set out on a road trip and I told her I knew where I was going, and then on the way, I realized I had no idea where I was. The last person who's going to find out that I don't know where I'm going is Jen. Because I know what the response is going to be. I just don't want to live through that. Just the I told you so, and just that moment of really, like, you could have plugged it into the phone. In fact, just not too long ago, we missed a turn. I was driving on Friday. See, she's got it written down in a journal or something, and all of my mistakes. We blew past a turn, and I didn't plug it into the phone because I thought I knew where I was going, and all of a sudden we hit this landmark, and I was like, I think we've gone too far. Did we pass it? And she had to look it up, and she said we passed it, and it's just one of those moments. No one enjoys that, right? No one is enjoyed being told what to do, right? But here's this young girl. She tells Naaman, hey, go check out this prophet that's in Israel. So there was an openness, and here's the key. There was an openness to a divine appointment, a divine encounter. When she said, hey, there's a prophet in Israel who serves the God of Israel who can help you, right? There's an openness to a divine encounter, a divine appointment. But, right, so he goes to the king. The king sends him to Elisha. He shows up at his door, and he knocks, and here's Elisha doesn't come to the door. He sends a messenger, right? He sends a messenger to the door. He tells him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And here's what I want to get at tonight. The look and feel of the moment didn't match the expectation of what he had pictured or thought in his head of this divine appointment, this divine encounter, right? Let me give a quick illustration here. Sometimes we build things up in our heads to this certain point, this certain level, right? How many of you, and I know it can't just be me, there's no way. How many of you guys, when you were growing up, you watched a movie and you just loved it. You loved it. Years and years later, you go back and watch that same movie and you're like, this is terrible. This movie is just awful. Well, some of you may have seen this movie. Back when I was growing up, I watched a movie called Dragonheart, right? Sean Connery was the voice of this dragon, right? And growing up, I thought this movie was legendary. I thought it was just this epic tale. Sean Connery, the dragon, knights. I mean, I loved this movie. I remember watching it over and over and over again, and it just in my head it was this just incredible thing. And so Jen and I got married. I was telling Jen about this movie. Jen, this movie is incredible. You've never seen Dragonheart? Are you kidding me? How have you not seen this movie? It's incredible. So I kept telling her, we've got to watch this movie, got to watch this movie. We started watching this movie. Can I tell you, I apologized to her halfway through. I said, I'm sorry. This movie is terrible. The acting is terrible. The script is terrible. The graphics are terrible. I had built it up into this thing in my head, and she's watching it like, really? You like this movie? And I had to change my opinion. I was like, no, I really don't like it anymore. I used to love it, but this is awful, right? I had built it up. I had this image that I had just created in my head of this movie. It just wasn't reality. Now, I'm sure Naaman's thoughts, as Elisha doesn't even come to the door. It's a messenger who's sent, tells him, oh, you want to be cured of your leprosy? Go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And I'm sure he's thinking, what? Are you kidding me? Hey, I don't even get to see this prophet, but I love what he says. I'm going to read it here again. He said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. He had this picture and said what this divine encounter or this divine moment needed to look like, right? It had to be this spotlight from heaven moment where the angels are playing their harps and it's just like this, oh, and the man of God is doing his thing and waving his hands and calling on the name of the Lord, and then this healing happens. That's what he had pictured in his head. Right? And so when he got this, just go dip yourself in the river seven times. It just sounds so ordinary, right? It just sounds just kind of lame, kind of messy. I don't want to be part of it. Give me the, where's the divine, where's the awesome moment, right? So the look and feel of this divine encounter did not match the expectation he had in his head. And I love what his servants, Naaman's servants, said to him. They said, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? And that's crazy to me. Because I think, yes, if Elijah had come to the door and said, I need you to embark on this epic journey, you know, and gave him this incredible, this difficult task to do and all this, all these spiritual details, I think Naaman would have been like, you know what? I've got that. I can do that. You know, I'm a general. Like I've got this. And if it was something that's just this epic assignment, he would have done it. But because it felt so ordinary, he went away mad. The Bible says he went away in a rage. And his servants asked him, if the prophet had told you to do something great. The question we ask too often, I think, is what's that going to accomplish? When we feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on our hearts, we feel God leading us, we feel the direction of the Holy Spirit. If it's something just to the human eye, if it's something just simple and maybe a little bit outside of our comfort zone, I'm thinking, what's that even going to accomplish? It really doesn't matter if I step out and do that or not, because really, you want me to say that to that person? You want me to have that conversation with this person? I mean, that's not that big of a deal, right? What's it going to accomplish? Last time I spoke here, I made the statement that faithfulness is the win, right? Success isn't the win. Faithfulness is the win. And obedience is the key. When God speaks, we are to obey. And that's the key. So the positive implication here, the application here, the question for us tonight is this. What could one small act of obedience accomplish in your life? What is the ripple effect that could take place in your family, your sphere of influence, your kids, your job, your community, your church, your city, etc.? Because check this out. So Naaman, his servants encourage him, you know what, if he had told you to go do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So why don't you just go dip yourself in the river seven times? Go back to that title slide for me, if you would, Brian, just real quick. This is actually a picture. This is a picture of the Jordan River. Doesn't it just look just inviting? Don't you just want to dive in? Like, doesn't that just look amazing, spa-like? You know, you just want to dip yourself in that seven times. It's just awesome. And in fact, he says in here, like, these other rivers that are just better, like, can I wash in one of those? Like, those are better rivers. I'd just rather dip myself in those if it's just that. But this is what God had told him to do. He said, go dip yourself in this water seven times. And so he goes, and he does it. It's a simple thing. Doesn't seem like on the surface it's going to accomplish anything. He dips himself in the water seven times, and it says his skin becomes like that of a little, like a young child. It's just, boom, just clear and soft and perfect, right? And so this one simple act of obedience to what God was telling him to do, it wasn't just the healing. And what was the ripple effect? The rest of his life, the longevity of his life, that change, that one change, what did that impact for the rest of his life? and his family and those around him, the servants that witnessed it. I mean, imagine the ripple effect. It wasn't just his healing. There were other things that rippled out of this. And that's what happens when we make small acts of obedience, small acts of faithfulness, just doing what God has told us to do and stepping out in simple obedience, these simple things. There's ripple effect. There's ripple effect. And sometimes we don't even see it. Sometimes we're not even thinking that direction. Like, I'm sure Naaman was just thinking, I just want to be healed, right? I just want to be done with the leprosy. I'm over it. I just want healing. He wasn't thinking about, well, all the ripple effect and the other effects that would come from this healing. So my question is, what could one small act of obedience accomplish, not only in your life, but the ripple? One small act. One small change of routine, right? One thing we push with our students all the time, and they hear it from us a lot, we call it 10 and 10, right? So the challenge is, and sometimes we start out with 5 and 5, right? So the challenge is 10 minutes reading the Word of God and 10 minutes in prayer every day. 20 minutes out of your day. It's not that big of a deal. Or 5 and 5, 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in the Word of God. Can we designate 10 minutes total out of our day to spend? And I'm telling you, like, in that moment, and I tell our students this all the time. You do that one time. You set that time aside, and it, in all likelihood, in all honesty, it's probably going to feel pretty ordinary. You're going to read. You're going to pray. Sometimes you're not going to go. You're not going to know what to pray. You're going to feel like you're just sitting there. You're going to read. You might not understand what you read. You might just feel like you're just sitting there thinking, what's the purpose of this? But I'm telling you, one small change of routine, you start incorporating that into your life as a discipline. Days and weeks and months and years. And I've told so many of our students, that will transform your life. One small change of routine, one small act of faithfulness and obedience will transform your life over the long term. So, can I also remind us real quick before we move on, the rest of this passage does, in fact, remind us of the negative implication of this. It's kind of funny how they're juxtaposed, like, right next to each other. There's this act of obedience from Naaman that resulted in his healing. But if you read the rest, I'm not going to take the time to read the rest of the passage, but if you go and read the rest of it, it shows us how one small act of unfaithfulness or disobedience can have a ripple effect of destruction, because then Elisha's servant, Elisha refused the money, believe it or not. I'm thinking 150 pounds of gold. Naaman is begging him to take it. You know, he's thankful. He's like, here, take the money. I brought these gifts for you. Take it, right? And Elisha's like, no, I don't want it. I don't need it. Take your stuff with you. And the servant, Elisha's servant, is thinking, what? He's like, wait. Elisha, are you sure? Like, it's 150 pounds of gold. Like, we could use that. Think of the enhancement to the ministry, right? Let's spiritualize a little bit. Think of how we can bless others, right? So the servant, Elisha says, no, like, take your money and go. And so the servant follows after, unbeknownst to Elisha. Elisha knew. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him, but the servant follows after Naaman, and he's like, hey, can I have just a few of the shekels? He didn't even ask for the gold. He's like, just give me a little bit of the silver and two of the sets of clothing, right? Like, I don't want all 10. I just want a little bit of new clothes. Just some new clothes and some silver would be great. And so Naaman says, sure, take it. And so he goes back, and of course he's confronted by Elisha. He's like, where have you been? And I love his response. He said, you know, your servant has not been anywhere. You know, I've been right here the whole time. And so, of course, he's caught red-handed. And I'll read the statement that Elisha makes. Because, man, you just put yourself in this servant's shoes. And Elisha said to him, this is verse 26 in that same chapter. Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money, to accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, flocks, herds, men servants, maid servants? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Who? I'm sure his stomach sunk to the pit in that moment. Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and your descendants forever. Man, Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence. He was leprous, as white as snow. So here you have these two accounts, a small act of obedience and a small act of disobedience, a small act of unfaithfulness, an act of just stepping out and doing what God was asking him to do versus this really deceitful act by Elisha's servant. Ripple effects, right? So I've been talking with our students a lot about simple things. Simple things. Because here's what we do as people. We think, man, we pray these prayers like, God, bring revival to our church, right? Use me to reach people. Like, I want to be an ambassador of Christ, and we pray for these divine moments and these divine encounters, but then what we do is we visualize it in our head, and we build it up into this thing. We're like, I've got to feel a certain way. It's got to look a certain way. I've got to have this spotlight moment from heaven. Oceans, you know, it starts playing in the background. Who knows where from? You know, someone turns on the radio. Oceans is playing. You know, I hear the harps from the angels, and the Holy Spirit just directs me to this person, and the audible voice from heaven says, you know, John, I have ordained that you talk to this person and invite them to come to know me in relationship and be, you know, saved. Obviously, that's a little bit of hyperbole, but we do this, right? We build it up into this. It's got to be this certain way. And God is saying, man, can I just invade your daily life, like your boring life? We all have boring parts of our lives, right? That's not the part we post on Facebook or Instagram. It's not the part we talk to other people about. But every single one of us have boring parts of our days. Can we just be honest? Like just the ordinary, the regular stuff. And God's just like, can I invade those moments? Like in just casual conversation with so-and-so from work or at the store or whatever, like can those divine moments happen just because my spirit is within you and surrounding you and speaking through you in those daily moments, and it doesn't have to feel this big way or seem like this big thing, but all of a sudden you're stepping out in these little moments of obedience, and there's this ripple effect of impact. There's this ripple effect of miracles that God starts working in your daily life. Like it's small things, right? It's small things. And God wants to invade in those small ways. And I gave our students just a really simple, practical prayer to pray. I challenged them to pray it every single day for a week. And the prayer is this. It says, God, show me simple ways that I can take action each and every day to show your love and communicate your word. Simple ways that I can take action each and every day to show your love and communicate your word. So I'm gonna challenge you, I'm gonna dare you tonight to pray that prayer. In fact, as we close tonight, we're gonna take 90 seconds. Brian, if you can just throw in some real soft music, we're gonna take 90 seconds, right? It's a minute and a half, right? It's gonna be a little weird because I'm gonna stop talking, but don't let it be weird. We hate silence in this culture, so the music will help just a little bit to cover that. But 90 seconds, that's all I'm asking for. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Here's what I'm going to dare you to do. Take 90 seconds to pray and open your heart to a divine encounter. Allow time for God to speak to you. All I'm asking is that you pray that prayer. God, show me, not even simple ways, show me a simple way that I can take action tomorrow and every day to show your love and communicate your word. And I tell you, I promise you, whether it's right now or in the next few moments, maybe tomorrow, God will answer that prayer. As you pray it, there's going to be a spark of an idea that comes into your head, into your heart. That God, he's just going to show you something real simple. He's going to show you something really, really simple. And here's what our natural fleshly reaction is going to be. We're going to think, that's ridiculous. What's that going to accomplish? That just sounds so ordinary. It sounds too simple. That's lame. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to drop a person into your heart. And you're just going to have this inkling, I should text them tomorrow just to say, hey, how you doing? And then we'll think, nah, that can't be the Holy Spirit, because that's just too simple. It's too easy. It's ridiculous. What can that possibly accomplish? They're just going to text me back and say, oh, I'm great. How are you? You know, now I have to be in this conversation that goes nowhere, you know? Like, this is what we do. We go through these thought processes when the Holy Spirit's saying, I just want you to be faithful. I just want you to be obedient in this simple way. So no matter what it is, I'm telling you, as you pray this prayer, God's gonna spotlight some things in your heart and your mind, and I challenge you not to ask that question, not to say, what's this going to accomplish? Let's just, as a church, can we just say, okay, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Now, I have to, especially with teenagers, I have to make some clarifying comments. When God drops something like that in your heart, if it lines up with the Word of God, then do it, right? Don't just do anything that you think in the moment, because, right, there's your filter, right? There's the lens. Because here's the truth. If it lines up with the Word of God, and somehow you ate a slice of bad pizza the night before, and you just miss God completely, and you step out in faithfulness, and it ends up, you know what? The Holy Spirit really didn't speak. Then, wow. Worst case scenario, you've communicated the love of God to someone. You know? We complicate this thing. We're just like, well, what if I miss God? What if it's not really the voice of the Spirit? If it lines up with the Word of God, no matter, it'll still communicate the love of God to someone around you, and God will use it. So I'm going to challenge you. We're going to take 90 seconds. Pray this prayer. Allow God some time to speak. And let's just be faithful. As God puts things on your heart tonight and in the days to come, try saying, man, God, if you'd have asked me to do something great, I'd have done it. How much more so then should I step out in this small way? Small acts can bring large results. 90 seconds, and then I'll close us in prayer. Let's pray this together. God, show me a simple way that I can take action tomorrow to show your love and communicate your word. Let's take some time and let God speak to us. Probably felt like kind of a long 90 seconds, didn't it? Because we don't like silence. Feels kind of long up here, because just like, I want to make sure I don't go too long. Man, did God drop some stuff on your heart? Just simple things. I hope so. But I challenge you, even just this week, can we pray that simple of a prayer? and just see what God will do just in the boring of our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Father, we thank you that you desire to invade the ordinary moments in our lives. God, I thank you for this story, this account of Naaman in the Old Testament, Lord. I thank you just that it doesn't have to look a certain way. And sometimes, Lord, forgive us for overcomplicating things and having expectations, Father, that just don't, you just want to act in simple ways. So, Lord, help us to just be obedient and be faithful, because, Lord, I believe you want to use me, you want to use everyone here tonight, everyone in this congregation, you want to use us in impactful ways in every moment, Lord. So, Lord, help us not to ask, well, what's that going to accomplish? Help us just to step out in boldness and faith and belief and faithfulness, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you for your presence and for your word. Transform us from the inside out. And Lord, help us to change our community. Change our schools. Change this world. Change this city for your glory. But help us to do it in small, simple ways. Small, simple acts of obedience as we follow your heart and your spirit. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And give us a great rest of the night tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here tonight. You are dismissed. No big altar call tonight, but that's your challenge. That's the challenge. Take it and run with it. I challenge you all week this week. Pray that prayer. Lord, show me simple things that I can do today to show your love and communicate your word. You're amazing. Have a great Sunday night, a great week this week. Monday morning's coming. Have an awesome night.